some good feedback, frank feedback, about how the retreat was for them, because I just talked with Sister Margaret, and we are on for September. I think we will start on September the 5th, which is a Sunday, and we can get there. Okay, we can register it at 10 and have lunch and then begin about 1 o'clock. So if people are going to come, they can plan starting on Sunday the 5th. And then we will go through Thursday the 9th and probably end sometime after lunch. So we'll have lunch and then clean up, maybe 3 o'clock or something like that. So if you're going to be planning, you know, we'll send out the announcements. And I think, as Jeff mentioned, that we're going to talk looking about this, we'll have some period for beginners, and then whatever everybody can. I imagine, Jeff, everybody will come to the whole retreat, but then there'll be some period for beginners who can come.
Yeah, I would hope, you know, we will have a retreat like this, but maybe in the beginning, the first day or two, also there'll be more
beginners. We'll have to work that out. I think yeah. That, yeah. We'll
if anybody has any suggestions also, yeah, you know, in the emails.
Yeah, that's absolutely. So what I would like at this point, maybe we will start with Anthony. We'll just go around. And if you can stand up, state your name. And then any feedback, any frank feedback that you can give us as we move forward, you know, what about with these retreats? So.
Okay. Can we not stand up?
Yeah,
it's like preaching.
I thought you'd love it after all this.
Yeah.
Okay. As you wish, you can lay down if you want, just so we can hear you.
Okay. So speak loudly. If you can't, if we can hear you, then we'll have to stand up. How about that? Is that better?
That's good.
Okay, so speak up. Or you will stand up. Okay, so Anthony
Pacifico. Didn't devote too much thought to this, but some of the things I really enjoyed. I mean, I liked not doing the kin-in after the first sitting, because that gave you an opportunity to sit through the breaks, which I try to capitalize on. But then, you know, I do like the uniformity of it too, of you know, everyone kind of succumbing to the routine of I think that has its benefits. I like not having that break too after 3 days that we did in the last retreat. I think that was too much idle time.
That was too much good. You know, then we took the break out and it worked out. We were sort of worried people would not be able to sustain, but that was very good. That was good.
I think of much else.
Okay.
Well,
if anything comes up.
Yeah.
Okay. And people, everybody has my email. If anything comes up, just, you know, email me and let me know or something like that myself. So thank you.
But, no, thank you for orchestrating all this. I mean, it was a big help.
Okay.
You know, Jeff, thank you for venturing here. Yeah, I know that's very disruptive. I'm sure you don't get enough praise for that. So thank you.
I'm not going to stand. I thought it was well organized, and timekeeping was great. Thank you very much. It's a job I would not want. I thought that this room was just right. I mean, it wasn't cavernous. It wasn't too big. It was a very nice room to sit. I thought it was great that we all had some jobs. I appreciate the opportunity to care for the altar. I thought the sitting periods were really good, arranged nicely. I liked that last night it was done at 9, and it was really It's amazing what 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep can do for you the next day. You start to feel human again. So that was very nice. I don't think, I wasn't here last time, but I don't think I would have like wanted a break in the middle. And I thought this was just right. It just flowed, had a nice flow to it. I also want to thank Jeff. Really, best retreat of my life. And Dale, and people who just brought everything that you need to settle in and sit.
Tim Armacost, is that loud enough? I don't need to stand. I had a good hard retreat. It was hard. And really good. I also thought not breaking in the middle was a good choice. We changed the through the night schedule a little bit this time, so I'm interested in hearing anybody's thoughts about that. This time we stopped a little earlier and woke up a little earlier. I found it easier to come into the retreat with that schedule. I didn't struggle for the first 2 days with staying awake, which I have in the past. And I thought that we gave up, to get that, we gave up a little bit of the feeling of sitting through the night. To me, the retreat felt a little bit more I was sitting until late at night and then getting up in the morning. So I'm interested to hear if that affected people. For me, it was fairly smooth, and I'm not sure how personally, I'm not sure if I like one better than the other. There are six or one half a dozen of the other. I found the morning after I woke up quite a bit more difficult to wake up and sit three hard rounds. The trade-off was the difficulty of sitting until almost 4 in the morning versus the difficulty of getting up in the morning and sitting three hard rounds. I was weighing those things. I also appreciated not having quinine every time. I thought we struck a pretty good balance. I was aiming for kind of one at each main block of time, and that seemed to work pretty well. There was one other thing. There was one other sort of practical thing, but I can't remember. One of my favorite things was the feeling of Po Shan reaching across the centuries to give me an ass whooping every morning. I found that just amazing. Thank you, Jeff, for finding Po Shan. That was quite remarkable. It feels to me like we're evolving, which is really, really something. I think I can make it in September. I have to check my schedule. I may be leaving on a tour right around that time, but hopefully I can be. Thank you, everybody.
Jack Bardabedian. As a comment on the schedule, this has been my favorite schedule. This is my third retreat, sitting through the night, and I like the two-hour break after, I guess you might call it the after-dinner sitting. You get that two-hour break until 11, and then, you know, that's really the hardest, at least for me, that was definitely the hardest sitting, was 11 until 2:30, especially around 1, when you do want to sleep, but, you know, it's over at 2:30, you get that nice little break again, and then at 5:30. You start up again into three strong, hard sits. I liked that. Felt like the sitting was continuous, unbroken, without being something that, you know, sometimes was just drudgery. It wasn't like that. So I really liked the schedule. I also really liked seeing all the same people. This is the third time where I've seen I think most of you, and it is starting to feel like a sangha, a community, and I really like that. That's really, that's nice to come to. I have no complaints. I mean, nothing went wrong. The meals were good. Our rooms were, great. And I also really liked the Po Shan, the admonitions. you know, I really like that. So thank you, Jeff, for bringing him in here. That's it. So thank you.
I think the undertaking of trying to get a group of individuals with varying backgrounds to practice in a kind of cohesive way is incredibly challenging, and I really appreciate you know, Jeff's flexibility on that, and Tim and Tina and everybody who's involved in the planning to try to support everybody's practice in the best way we can, but still be true to, you know, especially this Zen tradition. We have great guests coming in with Jisho and Zui-san. There's something for everybody. You know, I could appreciate the difficult undertaking, you know. Practical things I think that might assist that is, because we are coming from such various backgrounds, there is a beauty in the all-one processing, eating together, the walking meditation. Tim really brought out the beauty of that, you know, doing this all together when we're doing that. But even how we exit, you know, I see people even tending to the care of how we place our shoes. All of this has meaning and structure, you know, especially I know for the monastics, but for us lay people, we don't know that. And sometimes I think there might be a little bit of a disconnect there. So maybe some kind of communication about what that might be could be a benefit for just the cohesiveness and stuff, you know. Even if it's not our background as lay people to do that, we can really appreciate if we understand the meaning and the significance behind that. And it really does support my practice when I understand those things instead of just blindly following things. I know in the monastery, it is kind of like that monkey see, monkey do thing. But, you know, there is a beauty when you really kind of know the inner meaning behind a lot of this stuff, you know. It can support practice. Another practical consideration, I brought it up many times over the years, but I'll bring it up again. People have to take off of work to do these retreats, which, you know, everybody has to do that. And so I've often wondered why we don't kind of capitalize on the weekend component of a retreat. Here we get, again, another retreat here. And so everybody's going to have to take off work. And that's a difficult thing for people. So I don't know if that's ever part of the consideration in when you make these schedules or not. But
well, I guess to respond to that, at this point we are making the retreats as Sister Margaret is available, and the weekends are taken up
for exactly that reason, right? And so
exactly,
so we might want to get on the ball about planning further ahead.
Yeah, as part of it is I think Jeff's schedule, but no, I think that's
it's
a good point. And I'm always saying retreat begins on Friday. I have it in my head that's when retreat should begin, and I say that to people, but no, you're right. I think that's a very good point. And we'll have to work that out. It's, you know, to have it on weekends so that people can be free and they don't have to go to work.
So I think also so that beginners can be a part of what we do.
Sure.
Yeah. The weekend makes that much more possible.
Sure. Yeah.
We should get back to Sister Margaret because there was a possibility that we could start Saturday instead of Sunday the 4th. She wasn't sure there was a choir or something coming. We may be able to start Saturday.
Right.
At least give that whole weekend for the beginners. So we'll check on that, huh? She wasn't sure.
Right. Yeah, because just looking at the schedule, since it's starting on that Sunday, you know, it's really like maybe four primary days of practice, and the majority of them is just falling right on the weekday, you know? Yeah. So I know a lot of people that they just can't do the retreats because of they don't have the time off, you know, and that's a problem. So if, you know, if we can think about that in the schedule.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I know that's a difficult undertaking as well.
Okay.
To do that. Everybody's sentiment, I think over the years, you know, Jeff has been really flexible in just kind of allowing the group to kind of evolve how it evolves. You know, that's a very unique thing. You know, I participate in a lot of different Buddhist traditions, and that's really kind of one of the wonderful things, I think, about Jeff. But then also, at the same time, it gets a lot of criticism because a lot of people want stronger practice or this, you know, and then there's always been a problem of where people were coming from, you know. So it's starting to get a little more structured, and I think that the people who can benefit from that or enjoy that are gravitating to that, and in practice is becoming much more meaningful for them to do that way. So that's, I've always tried to encourage Jeff or somebody just to speak up from what he felt would best support overall practice than just throwing out too much for all of us, because we're looking to you for the guidance on that. And so I know we're planning some other events that are happening here, and I think what Jeff has always emphasized, which I'm trying to incorporate as a way that I can maybe determine my actions, is, you know, are we coming from Zen when we do what we do, or are we doing what we're doing for Zen? And for me, there's a big distinction between those two. And I know Jeff has always emphasized that aspect, but we get really encouraged about what we're doing, the practice and the expression, and pretty soon we want to start to kind of preserve that, and then it starts moving toward, you know, the form aspect of practice, you know, and that's problematic for me, you know. And I know there's some talk about, you know, creating a center or something, and I think that has to really be clear, because everything that follows after that will be determined on that clarity. If we're really coming from Zen, is the reason why we're going to do what we're doing from that place, or are we trying to do something? And that, for me, in the communications I've seen, was not clear at all. And so since I'm going to unfortunately miss that, I'm just putting that out for that, you know. Because then the next consideration then is, if you are going to be having a discussion, and for the next retreats, how they come together, is how we're going to best support that, you know, practice for everybody. You know, if it is going to be more of a Zen aspect that Jeff is clearly presenting and bringing here, and we're going to really try to keep a lot of the Zen tradition alive, we can adapt to that, but we need to know what that is, so it's not so all over the place. Because I think that's the little confusion I see on this. It's a little too much for everybody, but it may need to be more focused, and that's okay. That can be a beautiful thing. But maybe have that a little bit more open if we're going to do that or not. That's my thought. And just on a personal level, everybody coming together here and give me the opportunity to practice and to support my practice, and definitely Zui-san and Jishu, you know, showing up for us and giving us the benefit of your training and practice, and that presence really, really greatly enriches my life, and watching everybody step up is just so meaningful. So I truly appreciate that. And Jeff, all your time and guidance. So thank you.
Jisho Varant Arslanian is my birth name. Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you, Jeff, for your guidance. Thank you, Tina, for the emails and the phone call. Thank you, everybody else, for the cushions and a lot of work that's gone in that I don't know of, I'm not aware of. Thank you so much. And also, thank you for your practice for 1 week. You all definitely keep me honest. I got very lucky this time to be able to participate in this retreat. I probably won't get a chance to do so for some time, because I'll enter a new monastery by the end of this month. I've been in this, been practicing Zen since I was 20. I'm 31 this month. Half of that's been in Japan, the other half has been in the States and Canada. I've been with different communities and done different sessions and retreats, different places. This is my first time here, so I can't compare this retreat with previous experiences here. This is unlike other communities I've practiced with, but there is this emphasis on sort of formlessness, I guess, or trust in giving the shape that trusting the people here to create the shape that the Sangha and the retreats will take. As a component of costume Zen, as Poshan would call me out on, I will say something about form, that I won't be here today for lunch, so I should say now. I was at a monastery called Heirinji, which was our Roshi was very big on form. He knew that the people he was training, most of them are going to be temple priests. So he, I think, thought very carefully about how to make the most of that. And he wanted people to realize that paying attention to everything one by one, moment to moment, is itself the practice of life and death. And he's very, very strict about that. I was grateful to have the opportunity to practice with him. But in terms of us, Dale made some, I think, very good comments right now. I'll try to sort of add to. In my monastery, when we bow, I think I spent my first year and a half always getting screamed at because of the way I bow. And the funny thing about it is, when I first entered, for the first half year to a year, I didn't pay so much attention to how I bowed. You know, you put your hands together, you go down all the way to the bottom, you stop for a split second, and then you come back up. And then once you're stopped again, you put your hands back in shashu, and you go to your next place. You know, I was just, I didn't have any of that down, you know, and I would get screamed at, like, what are they saying? You know, and they would get mad at me for sort of going against what I'm being told. And then after a while, I became attentive to the fact that I'm not doing it right, you know, I'm not paying attention to all the little components of it. But even though I was able to realize that, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it properly. They said, you're bowing from your head and not from your hara, not from your guts. And then there came a period when I felt confident that I had it down. And then I told Jeff that in September I went to a retreat in Kyoto where all the monks from Japan had gathered. And we got to do Sanzen Dokusan with a lot of the Roshis. And as important as that was the experience, the practice with other monks, there were 300 of us. And it's funny because you see all these different monasteries with their different forms. When we go in to listen to the talk of the different teachers, we carry the kohon, the book that's going to be lectured on. For example, if it's Poshan's teaching, it'll be Poshan's teaching. So my monastery is very strict about, you know, you hold your kohon like this, and your fingers are, you know, they're not like this, you know. It's not like this, it's not like this, it's like this. It's not like this, it's like this, right? And everybody's walking like this, right? And so we've been doing this, you know, for years now, and here we are in front of all the other monks, and we're all doing this, you know. And then you see another monastery, and they're doing this, you know. And then you see another one, they're doing this, you know. It's great, because if your monastery is telling you to do this, I think it's important to do this. Okay, if your monastery is telling you to do this, it's important to do this. There's no need to switch it up. Just do what your monastery says. There's no, particularly me, there's no meaning in it, you know. Maybe it's good that there's no meaning in it. This is an extreme example, but it's weird because I really didn't care about the form when I entered the monastery. But the one aspect of what I do in the monastery that I feel is very relevant to my everyday life, especially when I'm out of the monastery, is that emphasis on form. It's really that emphasis on form, and sort of one of the things that I see when I step out and step into the cities of Japan or the States is just through the way that person's using their body, you see where that person's mind is. When monks, every year in spring, we have new monk center, right? And the first half year is probably hell for them. And you know, they enter and they're gonna eat, and when they're eating, it was just, you know, straighten your posture, and, you know, and then they start making all this noise, and, you know, their posture goes back down, right? And then they get the posture and the silence down, but then they don't eat fast enough, right? So there's all these components that come in, right? And it's funny because nobody's not trying. You know, nobody wants to get screamed at. Nobody wants to, you know, look like a fool. Everybody's trying to keep a straight posture. Everybody's trying to eat as fast as they can. And the second, third year guys, they're not even trying. They've sort of got it down. You know, they're just sort of like, you know, for a second. So it's interesting because, you know, we have these bodies, you know, it can't be denied, but we don't use them. We don't know how to use them. We want to keep a straight posture, but we're like this. We want to eat quietly, but, you know, we don't eat quietly. Even in eating, you know, here it's sort of hard. I mean, I really like Honey Nut Cheerios, and it had been a long time since I had eaten Honey Nut Cheerios, you know. So if I let it in the milk for a long enough time, it'll become soggy enough that I can eat it without making much noise. But then the whole, like, you know, the crunchiness, that whole. So this is self, right? This is selfishness. This, you know, I want to eat it, but the crunch, you know. You know, in the monastery, we eat in silence. You know, we keep a straight posture. We eat quickly, and you have to make no noise. And it's not just the way you place things, but what you bite, and then let's say if it's something crunchy, what you want to do is you put it in your mouth, and then you wash it down with the soup, you know, so that the crunch won't come out. And nobody's telling you these things, right? You're thinking about them in your head, you know. It may look like you're very silent, you're eating in silence, but you're working like hell inside, right? You're going, okay, if I do this, I do this, I do this. Okay, and if I do that fast enough, that'll finish, right? I think this is very important work. I mean, my first year, I would just sit and I would think about my family or something, and the next thing I would be just on eating, or my posture is down, or all these things come up. So I won't tell you guys all to do what they're doing in Japan here. The one thing that I would recommend, though, is just like in the retreat in Kyoto, where all these monks showed up from different places, just how each monk had each monastery had its way of doing things. I think everybody here is coming from, you know, their homes, which is their dojos, which is their place of practice. And I, you know, if everybody's going to be doing the same kind of bow or what, I mean, I don't, that's up to the community to decide. But each person, if on their own, they can commit to something that they want to do when they enter the zendo, when they enter. If you want to do a deep bow, you can do a deep bow. If you want to do a smaller bow, you can. I mean, it's as deep, you know. You could do a small bow, but to sort of commit yourself to it, you know, I think the tendency might be to, you know, when you feel like the zazen and things are going great and you feel a lot of gratitude, you're just like, and then, you know, and you're sort of like not thinking about it. You're just coming. You don't even do a bow. You just go and sit. So. To give yourself a form which can then reflect back on you whether you're being mindful or not. The form it's there for you. It's you. It's not something to tie yourself up with, you know. Hori Sensei always said how, you know, there's no getting away from form, you know. You see these kids, you know, they get their mohawks and they sort of say, fuck form, man, you know, they get their mohawks, but that too is form, right? That too is form. So form can't be denied, I guess it's up to each of us to give a life, and this Sangha is such a great Sangha. I'm so grateful to be here with all of you that I trust that you guys will, you know, I don't know, maybe next time it'll be in 10 years or so if I could participate again. I'd like to see what form, you know, it takes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here and sort of get in the way of what you guys do. Thank you so much.
Don't leave anything for me to say. I think that's a very important point about the form, but it takes a while to be able to really appreciate it, so maybe till then not trying too hard could be the point too, because it kind of, for me it comes with a deepening of the practice, and I agree if there's going to be a place and I'm in the same pot trying to do something in Europe and trying to find out whether it's time and how to go about it and all of that. Where is it coming from? at each step of the whole process, you know, where is that next step coming from? Completely different story here. It came to me when Jeff was talking about everyday life. A common friend of us said one time about the retreats they've been doing, very rigorous retreats with somebody else as well, sitting through nights and really hurting a lot. And he once brought up the point and said, it's so crazy, we are putting all that effort into those retreats. We are going to the point where we couldn't go any further. He even had to give up once in a while because he just couldn't take it. And he said, then we go back to our everyday life. Why don't we put the same intensity there? It will take a different form. But this guy has 4 kids, and I respect him very much for saying it that severely. That's really serious. That's a real point there. Yeah, just to share that. Don't worry about the Japanese cultural forms. It really, in the end, it really doesn't matter. It's just about what we make out of it. I've had 20 years of this. Greatly inspired the first 3 years. I just loved it. It was a perfect entrance for me. I was just getting all the energy going, feeling the key of the ceremony. It was really great. But if I try to bring that here, people would go crazy. What is she doing? Wouldn't connect, so come up from the other side perfectly fine. And I really want to say, I think there are very, very few people in the East as well as in the West who are so clear about where it's coming from as Jeff is. And I think that's the most valuable thing, and I'm very grateful for being able to mingle with that. For him sometimes pushing a point and really making me check there. With that, some of, I think, my personal obstructions start to slowly fall, I hope. And so I found the schedule also very supportive for then allowing things to fall in the right place in the city. So thank you for taking care of that. Thank you very much for the silence. That was very, very, very important. Cannot be emphasized enough, and if we keep talking, we just don't know the difference. But these little stir-ups that keep coming in, it just takes time to allow them to settle. And if you don't stir it up all the time, it just settles more deeply. It just makes it much more easy. Yeah, I'll be at lunch, so if there's any questions or anything I can help.
I'm Dennis Wargentee, and let's see, I think I've been at these retreats every time except once, and that's the last one. But I think when Jeff started coming to Chestnut Hill back in the 90s, wasn't it? Was the first when it started?
I think I remember, as I think Dennis was, you had a limp once, and I thought you always had a limp.
No, I'm going to have one again.
Did have a limp?
Now he just limps with both legs.
I guess. Oh, goodness.
I just spent a long time.
Oh, you did. That's right. Well, so we go around. Somebody else will
talk. Don't pass it to me.
It's been a long time, Dennis.
But, yeah, so I've got to tell you, these are the only retreats I've ever been to. I don't go to other retreats. This is it. And it's all I can do really to find the time and resources to really get myself here since I live a ways away nowadays. So to me it's a valuable and something I look forward to for months off. I look at it and think, well, that's going to be great, you know. And it never disappoints. And there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that I don't appreciate, and it all seems so seamless. But I know it's because of a lot of the work that you guys and Tina and people are doing to make it seem that way. It just falls right into place, though. And over the time I've been coming, I've noticed that a real evolution of, of this retreat, really some profound differences than I think the first one I went to. And it seems like there's a lot of things that are kind of experimented with, maybe once or twice, and kind of dropped, and something else tried. And you know, I can think of a couple of things that were tried, played around with, and but all of it has evolved into a really clean, neat process that to me is just like a well-oiled machine. It seems like it started out being kind of loosey-goosey, and now it's just really coming together. Is a very tight thing. And it occurs to me that when you talk about it, the only thing you can talk about is form. That's the when it comes down to talking about Zen, what else can you talk about? You know, there's the part you can't talk about is the thing you're really here for, but you have to hang it on some kind of framework. And so I think all the talk about the structure and how that's going forward is really critical and really important. I really like the way the schedule is laid out. Again, that seems like something that you guys must have a lot of experience with, because how else can you do that? I actually calculated, this is the way I am. When Tina sent the schedule out, I sat down and added up all the minutes sitting on the cushion top. You know how many minutes we spent sitting in our cushions? Yeah. Not counting the walking, not counting all the other times we're supposed to be attending. 47 hours and 55 minutes. That's 2 days of sitting on your butt. I mean, that's serious meditating. That blew me away. I thought, no way I can do that. Nobody can do that. But it worked really well. I like the fact that the breaks were not too long. And I think that's really important, because if you get into too deep a sleep, it really gets hard to wake up. And those little short catnap opportunities, I thought, were just perfect, at least for me. And I felt better, more awake and energized at this retreat than I have at previous ones. I think that had something to do with it. And I really like the one-on-one in order. That I don't think you guys have done that before. I know it's pretty traditional with Zen, I guess. But I thought that was really good. For me, I tend to be kind of shy when it comes to that kind of thing, so it was nice to be forced to do it. And so I thought that was very helpful, and I realized that I really did need to do that. I needed to be there, even though I didn't know I needed to be there. So that was great. Gosh, I don't know, I can't think of much more to say, except I really appreciate everybody, you know, supporting me, allowing me to be a part of it. And I look forward to the next time. Thank you.
My name is Nicole, and I was very grateful that I was able to be here for this retreat, especially with my brother sitting right across from me. That's very cool. Because we kind of glimpsed at each other.
Many times.
So do we have to separate you now?
It's just been once in a while. We I too like the one-on-one in order, because I wasn't here at the last retreat, and it really helped me out. And Jeff, you really pushed me. I learned so much this week. I really did. I was sitting there like, what the hell, you know? But you know, you gave me time, and you pushed me. And it was great. So I appreciate that. I think it was a great experience. I like the schedule. For me, the mornings were the worst. But mornings are always the worst for me. So it made no difference how much sleep I got. So the mornings are always going to be bad. No matter what, if I got 2 hours sleep or eight, mornings are going to be hard.
You just come in from Europe, and I have jet lag, so it won't
be hard. I really, so the mornings are that bad.
It worked for you.
So, but anyway, thank you. And hope to see you in September.
I'm Peter Wessler, and I was sort of dreading this and debating whether or not to come. I was worried about not getting enough sleep, because I usually feel totally overwhelmed and like I can't function if I don't get enough sleep, and I'm kind of neurotic about worrying about getting enough sleep. And one thing I appreciated was the permission that if you had to, you know, you could skip a period or something. And what I discovered was that after a certain point, I couldn't even sleep in the breaks. It didn't bother me at all, but the sleep, the schedule felt really good to me. I mean, some of the periods, you know, the last 5 minutes seemed to go on interminably, but you know, that's always true. The general feel felt very supportive, and this was the first time I'd done a retreat here. And while I really like Pendle Hill, I think it's a wonderful place, this has a lot less distractions. I mean, it just seems very, you can just completely concentrate on the retreat. And I think this is a good place for it. Anyway, I just want to thank everybody. Thank you.
I'm Tom Nady. Every year I say this is the best retreat I've ever had, and sure enough, it's the same for this year. It's been really, really wonderful. I would thank the Sangha, the group here, the community. I think contemporary science is only beginning to get at the piece of the energy that's flying back and forth. Neurosciences and brain research is finding more of this, but this is going on, and I really felt that here this week. I lose my voice when I don't talk very much. The discussion between form and formlessness is an eternal one, and so we just have to go back and forth. I think the Dallas people want no form at all. I find that very entertaining. I think it was terrific what we did. I'm very adaptable. Charles Darwin and the Origin of Species, he didn't find that the strongest survived. That was later. That was someone else's. He found that those who adapt survive. The dinosaurs were the strongest of all. They're not here anymore. So I think when we're in a situation to find the spirit, whatever terminology you want to give to that. So whatever you do next year will be fine with me. Okay?
Oh.
all mistakes. There are limits here, I want to thank Tina for her motherly ways. Every friend is a mother, and we have them.
Well, I want to take this opportunity. My daughter, who is 30 years old, married 10 years, is going to have a baby.
Oh, my. Oh.
So I was thinking, so I will be able to give grandmotherly kind. Even more kind. That could be pretty, you know.
But
anyway, so.
I thank our monastic friends. That's all for me. I get overwhelmed.
I'm Heidi Scheer, and I liked it very much, pretty much everything. The one-on-one in order, the meals, they're great this year. You know, they improved their meals. And also I like this place here.
Sure.
Yeah. Was there anything else that you wanted to know?
Anything else come up?
No, and I liked it. Overall, I liked
good.
It.
Okay.
And the sketch. The sketch was
very good, actually. Yes. Yeah. 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 Could you text Tim again? Thank you. I mean, he's been fine-tuning it. It's just like this third time I've been doing this. So it's coming around. So, thanks.
And about the form, I like form. And it's just a thought, but I would appreciate it if there was some information about, at the beginning of the retreat, about form, how we are supposed to, I mean, this is up to you, of course. Mm-hmm. Just if you want to have an...
Well, there are a couple of things that occurred to me. As we were going out, you know, Jeff goes out, the Jikis go out, the monastics go out, and the rest of us go out. That I'm not sure that was necessarily agreed upon. It sort of happened. And I think those of us who go to a million retreats down, so that's generally how it goes, right? I mean, Peter and I go to a lot of retreats. I mean, that's sort of how it goes. I mean, there is sort of a group, a way to do that. But I don't think we agreed on that. We didn't talk about it. So I don't know, you know, and how to bow and when to bow and all that, and about the shoes. So it's not clear to me. I'm not much of a form person, so how it evolves seems okay to me. But I think we have to talk about that, maybe.
And it's up to you. But only if you have to think about it. How what do I do now? Do I bow like this or do I bow like this?
You're right. I don't. You know, I think maybe we'll have to talk about that.
And I think if we're going to open this up to people who are beginners, you're right, it can generate a lot of thoughts. Yeah. They say, oh, I didn't do that right. Wait, the next time I bow, I'm going to do it this way.
Okay.
And it's a lot of chatter.
So,
I would think like a one page or so, you know, basic forms that, you know, not too much, but just a basic thing so people coming in can feel a little more comfortable, you know, bowing.
And even a 5-minute demonstration.
There's
subtleties here. And like Tim brought up the 1 year about, you know, how moving in one into Kinnan and then, you know, moving with the same foot. You know, but they brought a certain kind of unity there. And, you know, we're musicians, but we kind of like that in one sense, that it was, there's a kind of a synergy that kind of moves in that way. And that can be a beautiful support for the practice as well. But these things aren't often talked about, right? You know,
right.
But you brought that up, and that made me to kind of be sensitive to that, you know. And
I think the point has been made that things like this can mean everything to someone, or you can just say, oh, when I'm at retreat, I do that, but I don't want to do that anywhere else. But to give people the opportunity to experience that form, I think it's very beautiful.
I think so, too.
Well, I would suggest maybe in the next month or so, all of us think about anything in the retreat that maybe should be explained. The meals, you know, how do we do that? Some people stood up, and then when we sit down, what did you feel the need to have explained so that you don't have to be unnecessarily thinking, am I doing it right? Should I be looking at him? Does he know what he's doing? So maybe this is a good way to get it started. What did you feel the need to have explained, and then maybe we can work it into a sheet, you know, one page or so. Okay.
The meals thing to me was a little confusing. Maybe I missed something, an explanation that happened when I wasn't there, maybe, but I didn't know what the protocol was.
I don't think...
Because you weren't here at the last retreat.
Really? So the first table was up getting food, and ours was sitting around. I thought, well, hell, I'm hungry. I got up and said, sorry. Nobody said anything, but nobody else got up either. So I thought, well, I think I screwed up. So I'm going to take my food and I'm going to do that.
That's true. I mean, you know.
I didn't know.
Of course not. I mean, like, what did Jisho say? It took him, what, you know, 6 months to figure out about how to do all the math. It takes a long time. I mean, and we come together as a Sangha once, and then the next time, all of these same people are not here. I mean, it's very challenging what we're doing. And, you know, so to be formed, it takes a while. And so is we too. So good for you.
Well, the reason why I think you have to think about it from that beginner's mind, sorry to use that catchphrase, but the idea is we have been doing this, so many of us have just started to kind of fall into line that way. Since you weren't here last year, that eating kind of process started in there just organically. Mm-hmm. And so since most of us are sitting together, we knew it, but you didn't. So in one sense, just having a one page for what we do, but what about people who haven't been coming for like the last 10, 11 years, you know? They're not going to know at all.
Mm-hmm. But one of the things that Jeff says to me, and I think, you know, don't be sloppy. I like that. Right. I mean, don't be sloppy with whatever. So each time a retreat comes together, be crisp about it, you know, because there's always going to be something that we're not going to know anyway. So I think that's, I mean, there are some good principles here to sort of set up, but I think a page or form is a good thing to do.
Excuse me, I really like that. Don't be sloppy.
Yes.
That's I just think the main ethic of the form in a monastery. It's not about, you know, getting stuck on the form at all. And actually, you'll have monks doing it a certain way for a long time, and you'll have the vice abbot suddenly decides to participate in the meal, and he's doing something nobody's ever done. You go, what? So then suddenly we have to look at that and do that, you know. And that's the idea about adapting, right? There's no fixed form. There hasn't been. It's not written down in the monastery. It's just been, you know, if you're lucky enough to be at a monastery with very senior monks, you know, they'll know the form the way it was done before. But the most important part about it, I think, is not to be sloppy about it.
Be crisp, yes, that's good.
And the beauty of this is just to see how it evolves naturally. At the beginning, I found myself thinking about it too, not this time, but you know, now we have this little thing. I forced him to go out ahead of me, but I'm the senior, so it's really mean, huh? But,
I just comment, I think architects always say the form follows function. Frank Lloyd Wright in his architecture. Form follows function. What are you trying to do here? That's what the form becomes.
That's good. Thank you.
Are you finished, Heidi? Did we kind of... we'll try to work up a cheat sheet, huh? We'll maybe one page sheet
for
it. Well, your comments.
One more thing. I want to thank you. So first, I want to express my appreciation for this Sangha. And it's very precious to me. And so I thank all of you coming together. And especially Jeff, thank you, and the monastics, thank you, Tina, and everyone who put in a lot of work, thank you especially.
Before Donna and I'm back together again, I will say one more thing. I then thank Jeff on your behalf. We have here a scholar, which I really appreciate, someone who's dealing with original languages and primary sources rather than translations and secondary sources is very much appreciated. You don't find that very much. It's rare. And so when you find someone playing around with the nuance of a word, you know you're in the presence of a scholar. So we respect that very much. And then Jeff, your ability to communicate, to be a teacher. We've had a lot of teachers in our day in school and so forth, and I try to teach myself. And it's a talent, it's a skill, and it takes practice and discipline, and you've done well. And lastly, as a spiritual guide, you said you're not a psychologist, but man, you could fool me. You know how to ring someone's bell in a very nice way. So thank you for all the effort given to this. And for you all too, that the sum of many hours things happened before we got here. It didn't start here. So for all that gathering that comes about here, thanks so much.
Well, thanks for being patient.
Yes,
thank you.
Yeah.
So please,
thank you. Thank Jeff for allowing my wife and two young, not so young anymore, two teenage sons to be here and hear his Dharma lecture. That was wonderful. I'm sure that great dad will be terms that are used in our household. And I apologize to all of you for interrupting your Sunday meditation with my wristwatch alarm. Obviously couldn't hear it, and Kishu shouted out, "Turn it off!" Brilliant Zen insight. Jeff said, "Turn it off."
Good.
In a grandmotherly way, kindly came over and took my wife.
Took it off. Toledo. What a group.
Thank you, Tina, for putting up with me. Retreat I've attended with Jeff, and physically it was the easiest one, psychologically it was another story, but I think it's the scheduling, and what Tim and Dennis mentioned, I think you probably have an optimal schedule at this point as far as making it as pain-free as possible and as restful as possible given 46 hours of sitting.
47.
Just counting, right?
55 minutes.
Thank you all again.
Thank you for being here. Okay, a couple of more, a couple of additional. Jeff, were you going to say something about going to the Hermitage? Do you have something to say about that?
Yeah, Jeff had asked me to say something about his Hermitage in Kyoto. I went there from the end of April until July, so I got to spend 3 months in this hermitage. For those of you who are noticing the value of one-on-one, and if you're kind of like me, where you know you're serious about your practice, but you tend to shy away from encounters for whatever reason, the first encounter I ever had with him a couple years ago, I knew there was something I needed. So that kind of drove me to go, to just quit my job and just head over there. I planned for about a year. But anyways, if you feel drawn to that, if you want more of that, it's as valuable as you thought it was here, and more so. And you're very welcome there. You'll arrive, you'll be in this foreign country. I don't know any Japanese. I didn't learn any. I knew I was just going to go there and sit. And I just needed to know how to get to the markets and get my food. But I would encourage, especially as this Sangha is forming and we're now doing the one-on-ones in order, and everyone is seeing the value of that, I would encourage anyone who has the time to go, whether it's 2 weeks, a month, 3 months, a year, it's invaluable. I'm not one that's big on transmission or lineage or things like that. It just doesn't interest me at all. But when you're there and you're doing the one-on-one continuously, and then you get to go to Tofukuji and sit, which is where Jeff trained, you have no... It's unmistakable that you're essentially being probed by someone who was probed by someone who was probed before him, and you're really just... It's being passed on. You're amazed, like you notice in one-on-one, and how does he see this? You know, how could I not see this? That I'm stepping outside of my practice. You know, it's one thing to have problems you know you have, but then there are problems that you don't know. Practice is good, right? Well, you know, not exactly. And you get to see that. And you don't want to see that, but some part of you hungers to see that, and that is what you get when you go there. And I think the most valuable thing about doing it there is Jeff gets to come over and he'll take you to lunch. He'll take you to a monastery art exhibit at a museum there. So he doesn't just make it this, you know, practice intensive, sitting only sort of thing for you. If you're working hard, he'll come and break it up for you. It's not meant to break it up, but you'll get some exposure to Kyoto. Fusako is in, you know, I have no other word for it. She's a ridiculous cook. She's amazing. Amazing. You know, I date a chef, and, you know, I work at one of the nicest restaurants in Bethesda, and she's right up there, and I'm not exaggerating. She's amazing. And so, you know, when I would get the invitation to come over for a meal, I was definitely psyched, and Jeff has a great wine collection. So you really do get that mix. It's not that you take a break from the practice, but, you know, you sort of see where this stern prodding on of your practice and focusing of your practice, you get to see where it's coming from, and it's coming from a good place. It's not that expensive besides the plane ticket, you know, and your $10 a day or whatever you need for food, that's it. So if you can make the time to go, you know, you may not need to quit your job, but if you can take a couple weeks or a few weeks, it's well worth it. There are people there who will sit more because they know you're there. Jeff has a group that sit there, about 10 or maybe a maximum of 15 people. But when they know you're there sitting constantly, they want to come and sit with you, so you're supporting them, but they're supporting you too, because now you have this other person to support, you know, when you're in this room alone. So all of those things come together as a really good reason, I think, to go. It'll really help all of us, I think, get a deeper sense of what we're a part of. We are a part of a specific tradition when we're here, whether we realize that or not. You know, Rinzai Zen is here without the specific, you know, trappings that might happen in a monastery. We can't afford that. We all live, you know, in different lives, and we just let certain customs, you know, show up when they do. But the one-on-one and the Zazen and the spurring on that comes in one-on-one, that's, you are definitely a part of something. I'm not prone to that. I don't like feeling like I need that. I've always sort of avoided it, but it's just unmistakable. And if you can go to Kyoto, you'll get an even deeper sense. And if you just feel the need in your practice for seeing things that you don't see, you are welcome there. That's probably the most important thing I can tell you, is you are definitely welcome. He had me come over when I'd met him once for a one-on-one, and then was teaching for a year, and I knew I needed to commit, and I just sent him an email saying, I'm going to go do some sitting for an intense period of time. Do you have any advice? And I'd only met him one time. We had a couple exchanges, and then he told me about his hermitage. And he didn't know me. you know, or you'd met me one time. But if he sees you're committed to practice, it's there for you. And then when you arrive, you might as well be his relative. It's just like that. So anyone who has been encouraged in their one-on-one encounters here, encouraged and maybe discouraged in the sense, well, I guess I'm not seeing all my the flaws in my practice, even when I think there aren't any, and I'm all the way in. Well, you're not. That's just priceless. So you have another opportunity besides these retreats to get that. You know, a plane ticket and, you know, some food money, maybe some money to help with the water bill and electric bill while you're there. But that's it. So I hope that gives some people of an idea of another opportunity you have to work with Jeff.
Bye to Jeff. But before everybody leaves, Jeff will be in his hermitage, and if you would please kindly stop by and say goodbye to him before you leave for today. And if he has the copy of the books, his book Being Without Self, the book, if you would like, do you have enough for people to have extras if they need extras?
I have a couple copies.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So Jeff has copies, and I have copies actually in my house in Maryland. So if anybody knows of anybody wants some extra copies, I can always send you copies, give you copies. So I have copies as well, Ryan. So but anyway, so please say goodbye to Jeff. He'll be going to your hermitage after the go around.
Well, can I is that include people who go for lunch, like everybody, or just people who are actually leaving?
I think everybody should have some time to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. That would be good. If you go to lunch, that's a bonus. But I think before we leave the premises, it would be good to say goodbye.
Do we need to bring this up now?
No.
About my leaving?
No, because we're going to do the next thing and then. Okay. So everybody's clear about saying goodbye. I'm trying to, one note in order, stay on task. Okay, number three. Okay, Tom. Okay, we are going to be meeting for lunch, and everybody is invited to come to lunch. Where is it going to be? Lunch?
It's in Bryn Mawr, which
Bryn
is 5 minutes that way.
Okay, and it's going to be very close. Now, everybody is welcome to come. There is a kind of a theme. We are going to be talking about the possibility of a Zen center, you know, so that we have, all of you have been included in all of the emails that have been sort of generating a little bit of interest in this. So far I have myself, Mike is coming, Tom is coming, so Sui's going to be there, I'll be there, Jeff and Jack and Tim. I have that. If anybody else wants to go, please let Tom, raise your hand actually. Can anybody else come besides those of us who already said?
I have to give a number to.
Yeah, for reservation purposes. Anybody else? It's going to be like right 11:30, 12 o'clock. Can you stay, Peter?
Yes.
Okay, then Peter.
I think I can.
Okay, Heidi. Okay, Nicole or mm-hmm. Anthony? Mm-hmm. No, I know Ann can't. Tim will be there, Jack. Dale, you can't. Gisha. Suze, you can. Dennis, you got to go on your way.
I was okay. Trying to, but I think I'm going to have to pass.
Okay. I will be sending minutes out. Obviously, okay. I'm going to make a little minutes, and this is like in America, we do minutes after the meetings. So I will send minutes out, and then from the minutes, what I will do is I will ask people then, do you want to be on this list? Because the people in Europe have also been part of this, you know, so they'll be. And it's going to, and it will be task oriented. So after this meeting, I need doing all the work, people. So there will be, you know, people will be asked to do work, whatever that is.
So the number is 9 then?
Yes.
And if we could carpool it, I think probably
that'd be good. Then. Okay, so meet at 11, is it 12 o'clock?
Well, I let them know.
I don't know, can we do it Friday 11:30?
Yeah,
I think
sure.
That's true.
I think
because that way we don't want a lot of downtime. So at 11:30, we will meet in front of the all those who will be there, all nine of us will meet in front of the door, entrance door.
So it's a Thai restaurant being owned and operated by devout Buddhists. So we will continue our practice at lunch.
Okay. Works. Okay. Now, so wait. So do you need?
Oh, I need to get from here to the lunch, and I need to get from the lunch to the airport.
What time is your plane leaving?
6:30. So I'm going to be there at 4:30 latest.
6:30, 4:30.
I can, of course, get the train from here. I have the schedule that I'm keeping.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'll leave your stuff here early from the meeting. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, you have to be at the airport at 4, is that?
4:30, yes.
Oh,
we're not going to be talking more than that. That seems like a long time.
Leave by 3:30.
Okay.
Are you going to be okay, Disha? Where do you have to go?
I walked there from that, what is it, the Norristown something, speed, what is that thing called?
SEPTA rail line.
Yeah, I went from there to 69th Street.
And then from train, there to, you're going to New York?
Yeah, from there to 30th Street. So,
what time do you have to go?
I'm just going to go when we're finished, yeah. If anything, well, I can just walk there, it's not too bad, but if
do you want to walk there?
I don't mind, yeah. I don't think it makes that much of a difference in terms of time.
You're not answering the question. Do you want to do it?
Do you have much stuff?
No, I have not much at all. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you want, we'll be leaving here around 11:30 to go through the restaurant. Somebody can always take you to the station if you would rather go by yourself. You know, that's fine, too. We'd be happy to take you.
If someone would take me, I'll go.
Good.
So we can. Will you be okay with that?
Sure. No problem.
Well, that's all right. I think
we can drag you behind if you really want to.
Okay, we'll take you.
Yeah. Are you leaving from Bryn Mawr or Haverford? Do you know?
Does it make?
You're going to 30th Street, right? That's where you need to catch the train.
Whatever gets you there.
Yeah, they'll both go into 30th Street.
Oh, okay.
So if somebody needs to knows how to get where he needs to go.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, it's right here, isn't it?
Well,
Kelsey's
walk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. The main
lines. So we'll all meet here. Disha, you meet here. We'll take you and drop you off.
Thank you so much.
All right. And then we'll all, get there. Okay. That's the deal. Okay.
Tina, for going to the Hermitage to say goodbye to Jeff, should there be
you know, people, I don't know if they're all packed up, but, you know, just to take a minute just so that we can say goodbye, but when you have the time, you know.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Not in order.
Not in order.
Can't come in order.
We're going formless here.
And I want to mention, sort of piggybacking on Jeff, I'm going to say this out loud. I'm going to go to Japan to do Orohatsu with the group in December. At least I have put that out there. I emailed because I think there are people that I think Goose is going to do it. Goose is going to do it. He would like to do it. Now, you know, I'm always hesitant to say because it feels like a commitment. So. You
that's
know.
Actually the way to do it.
Is to like say it.
Yep. When you actually do that, we had agreed on a year.
Yeah.
And I just kept, I wasn't sure I could get the money together, but once you just said, well, how about commit to 3 months, come in April? And then once you do that, then you have no choice.
Out there, it's sort of
no
out
choice.
There.
Yeah.
Comes emptiness becomes form. It's out there. You said it. And I guess one other thing before we end is that I went to Japan for 2 weeks in 2003. And I did a sit at Tofukuji, a retreat. And I was actually the last lady, the old lady at the end of the line. All these little, college monks, college graduates, you know, there they were, and all the little Japanese people. I don't know how I got to be last. I know, because you have to be last because you're like the earliest, last one in there. And that little monk, he always dinged the bell just before I got on the tatami, and I knew it. He was embarrassing. it was the most terrific experience of my life. It was terrific. I just had Takako, this Japanese lady sitting next to me, spoke English. So, I mean, she, talked to me about everything, I could do it. It was fun. I had a good time. But anyway, from that, we decided to do the Rohatsu here because I saw how they did it and what the form was and how, you know, how they could do it, how the structure of Michael Bailey actually put it in. And so we brought it back here. So I think what Jack is saying is very valuable. You know, you go there and you see firsthand, because I go to a lot of retreats here, but it's different than what they do in Tofukuji. So you see what they do and you decide, you know, how to bring it to America. You know, we're American, we bring it to America, and we put the form as it works for us, which is what we are doing. So I encourage people to go and see for yourself what it looks like. Because then you adapt to what feels right here. So I just wanted to add those 2 cents. So Jack, what you said is very valuable. So I think it's not just, you know, doing what everybody else does. It's knowing yourself and then being able to adapt to what the situation works for, that needs to be done. Okay, anything else before we end?
May I add to what you're saying?
Okay.
At my monastery, there's not too many lay people who come, but there's one guy who's been coming for 50 years.
50?
50 years. He's 87 years old.
Good for him!
And on cold, wintry days, 4 in the morning, you know, he walks from a quarter mile away and just trots over. You can hear him, if you're ringing the bell, you could hear him. and he comes in, and he's been doing, well, he's finished Sanzen years ago, but he still comes every morning, and he keeps the monks very honest, you know. I think this is someone who's sort of educated in sort of the old ways. He's a bit tougher than the average human being, I think. We wake up in the morning and we're like, oh, fuck, you know. Cool, you know, and everybody's like this, and then here he is. And he's 87 years old, and he has no extra layers or anything on. He's just there and he sits. So, I mean, you don't have to be like that guy, but anybody who comes from the outside, you know, we get up and we're there. You know, the Zendo's here, like being in this building. But people coming from outside is always looked on in a good way, is always sort of. Even for the monks who don't care at all, you know, like a lot of these junior monks who, you know, they get in, they go, I don't want to get up, I don't want to sit, but then they see this guy who's like, he's at a point where he can't even stand up so well. So I once had to escort him back to his house, and we had just finished Rohatsu, it was 4 in the morning, and the senior monk said, you know, walk back with him. I go, okay. Actually, we all had drank a little bit of beer before, so
nice Rohatsu.
So I start walking back with him, and I'm like, this is gonna take forever, and it's so cold, you know. And he has a stick, and he goes, once I get going, he goes, I'm fast. and he's not so he's much faster than he was in the beginning, you know. Besides that, the rest of it is feel, because he's so used to the buildings and stuff. But it really makes people think, why is this person coming? Those who, you know, who may not have an interest in it, you know. So, I mean, if you all go to Tofukuji, I know 2 monks that are training there now. The most senior monk, too, he's a very good guy. They will definitely appreciate having people come all the way from here, making the time to go participate with them. They will definitely appreciate it, and it will be a learning lesson for them, too. So please don't let that become a... what's the word? What's endosuru in English?
Get in the way.
Yeah.
Obstacle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I meant to... that makes me think of Tofukuji. You think when you're going to a monastic complex as a layperson that you're kind of this... You might be perceived as this sort of unrigorous, you know, Zen practitioner compared to these guys, but they don't treat you that way. They really make you feel like you're this honored guest, and they just take care of you. So if that's a hang-up, you know, a hindrance that you have, it's the opposite happens, you know, the opposite. You go there and there, you know, they just take you to your room, and, you know, as long as you're not disruptive and you're respectful, they take great care of you. So, go if you can.
Yeah. Okay, it's 10:30. We probably need to break now, but we have one more task, and that is to put everything back on the family. And Dennis will help, and so will you, because you guys